is good to be here. Nothing I'd rather do than preach the gospel. And I just want to look at that subject with you this morning, proclaiming the gospel. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is most important? What is most important to you? Now, if you ask some folks, especially if I ask my teenage daughters at home and my older daughter, my hair is of utmost importance to them. They're not my hair, but their hair, you know. My hair, my dress. And we emphasize so many things, don't we? This is important. That is important. And I was just thinking when our brother Joe was speaking about how we know who won the ball games and all that kind of stuff. And that becomes of utmost importance. It's sad, isn't it? It's a really sad commentary. It's not my hair. The most important thing this morning in all the world is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read just a few portions of scripture. Ephesians chapter number 6. I just want to read a verse here. We're not going to preach from here or speak from here. Ephesians chapter number 6. He says in verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, how that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scripture." And here is the part we often leave out. "And that he was seen of Cephas and the 12. Chapter number 2 of 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read one verse in chapter number 1, and then we'll go to chapter number 2. Chapter 1, verse 23 says, "But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Chapter 2, verse 2. "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We'll stop our reading there. What is most important to you? The gospel has a freshness about it, doesn't it? I never get tired of hearing the gospel, the old, old story. Because you know, I have found, even when you preach the gospel to believers, it stirs them up. And, you know, not only the preaching to the believers, but it also preaches you speaking to the unsaved. It brings conviction that leads to repentance. Now, let me say this morning. The gospel is about real events. The gospel is as real, and the events of the gospel are just as real this morning as 9/11 of last year. They are real events. It's not some fairy tale, but it's real. It really happened. And every one of us here this morning are in the business of making known the gospel. How are you doing with the gospel? What are you doing with the gospel? There was a young man, he related a story to me. I called him before I came because I wanted to make sure I had the story right. There he was in a assembly, and he went over to another assembly to help him with some gospel outreach. They put billboards out, put it on billboards, put it on the radio, advertised it in the newspaper, and went door to door. And this young man went over, and very few people came out. So he comes back to his home assembly, and one of the elders in his home assembly said to him, "Well, how did it go?" He said, "Did very many come out?" He says, "No, not very many, just a few." And then this was the quote of that elder. "Well, then it wasn't much of a success, was it?" Folks, I tell you this morning, we must preach the gospel. We oftentimes think success means that when something is big, when it has a big budget, it makes it a success. But you know, if you look into Scripture, you'll often find what man considers and what man highly esteems is an abomination to God. Let me just encourage you, and this morning, if you're going to go out and hand out gospel tracts, and nothing wrong with a good story, because I'll probably tell some stories, you know, and that kind of lets the light in and all that, but get you tracts that don't just have a story, but get tracts that have the Word of God in them. Because, see, the power is not in the story, it's in the Word of God, isn't it? That's where the gospel lies. And so when you get a tract, you get one that has a lot of scripture. Because they went to thousands of doors. And each time someone looked at what they had, where they read one scripture or all the scripture, that was a seed being planted, wasn't it? And the seed was being sown. And, you know, they may just be one link in that person's life that will lead them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? You and I need to be what? Faithful in proclaiming the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? Well, the message of the gospel is the person of Christ, isn't it? It's all about Him. The gospel is Jesus Christ and Christ alone. See, we live in an age, don't we, that when, well, my religion is just as good as yours. And we're not talking about religion this morning. We're talking about a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. But my way is as good as your ways. And, you know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. And we're living in a day of temptation when we're being tempted to water down the gospel. And that's what I'm so afraid of, and that's what I see in some of the assemblies that I go to. And I haven't been everywhere. Don't, you know, like the song, "I've been everywhere, man." I haven't been everywhere. But the places I've gone, I've seen a decline in the gospel. The gospel is this: Christ and Christ alone saves, and nothing else. My brethren and my sisters this morning, let's do not water down the gospel. The message never changes. I work with children a lot, and you know, I thought, well, now, how can I change? Well, you can't change the gospel, can you? Because if you change it, then it's not the gospel, is it? It's Christ and Christ alone. In its simplicity, "For I came into you and I preached Christ." First of all, Paul says, the most important thing, first things first. Yes, there's a need for teaching. Yes, there's a need for discipleship. But there's a need for evangelism among the assemblies of God's people. It must be first. I say, I wasn't blessed like some of you folks that have grown up in the assemblies. I didn't know anything about the assemblies when I met Linda, my wife. She began to talk about the assemblies. I thought Assembly of God, you know what I mean? Here I was a Baptist, never heard of an assembly other than the Assembly of God. I thought, well, you know, I don't know about this. But an assemblies. And so I wasn't blessed like some of you folks that have grown up in the assemblies. But I've read a little of the history, and what made them great was they preached the gospel, didn't they? Well, we need to preach the gospel. Don't try to decorate it up. Just tell someone else what Jesus Christ has done and what He has done for you. The power. It's in the message. It's not in me. It's not in you. It's in the message. The gospel, Paul says, first of all, I delivered unto you the gospel. And let me just say this, too, in passing here. The gospel, preaching the gospel, it's not just saying a word at the end of a message. Someone told me recently, he said that they have young people at a certain assembly. I'm talking about 20, 21-year-old young men and young women who have never sat in a week of gospel meetings. That's tragic, isn't it? No wonder the assemblies are getting smaller and smaller, because the growth will come in proclaiming the gospel. You say, well, you know, we did this and not many came. Well, that's not our business, is it? My business is to preach Christ and make the message known. So, you know, only at the end of a message, you know, if anyone here this morning, you want to trust Christ, that's not preaching the gospel. The gospel is really, Vince, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Christ Jesus came into the world to seek and to save the lost. He died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried according to the Scripture, and He's risen again, and He was seen, and He's coming again. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. Now, having said all that, if we preach the gospel, you know it's not very popular in our day and time. But we're not in it for the popularity, are we? Souls. Souls are at stake. So the message is the person of Christ. Let me ask you this morning, what are you doing with the gospel? The gospel is most important, Paul says. I delivered unto you, first of all, the gospel. Now that's going to take me back to 1 Corinthians, where we were, and we'll spend our time there. Well, what is the passion of the gospel? Well, the passion of the gospel is Him crucified. Him crucified. It's only through the cross that there's any salvation. And what the cross represents. Well, what do we see when we come to the cross? Well, we see our sins, don't we? It was my sins that put Him on the cross. It humbles us, doesn't it? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's not popular to preach Christ and Him crucified and risen again. But don't give in, brother. Don't give in. The gospel without a cross is no gospel at all. Paul said, if anyone come unto you and preach not my gospel, let him be accursed. And what he was really saying is this. If anyone comes unto you and preach not my gospel, let him be assigned to hell. Someone asked Billy Graham one time, Mr. Graham, what is the biggest crisis you've ever faced in your ministry? So he thought for a few moments and then he said this. He says, I was up preaching one night and I had no power. The clock seemed to stand still, and we know how that is. We who preach very often, sometimes the clock does that. And he says, it seems like I would never get through that message. And he says, on the way back to the motel, I was riding with what he called a layman. And I asked him about the message. And he said, well, I had no power, Mr. Graham. And Mr. Graham said, well, what do you think the problem was? He says, well, you never mentioned the cross. Billy Graham said he went in, he got down on his knees, he made a covenant with God that night that when he preached the gospel, he would preach the cross. Brethren, may we never stray far from the cross. May we never stray far from the cross. You want to tell me, let me tell you how to keep from sinning? Stay at the cross. Stay at the cross. Notice, if you will, here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. He says this, for Christ sent me not to baptize. I always quote that to my Church of Christ friends. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Get this, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be made of non-effect. It's just not with big fancy words, you know, well, we, you know, it sounds good. Man, it made me. No, preach the gospel in simplicity. Christ died for your sins according to the Scripture. He was buried according to the Scripture, and He is risen again, and He was seen according to the Scripture. Not big fancy words, but in simplicity. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. So it's Christ, Paul says, in him crucified. The passion of the gospel is Christ crucified. Now, what's the manner of the preaching? Well, the manner of the preaching you'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 there that we read. And I think the greatest secret, Paul gives it to us. What is the secret when we preach the word? And it's found in verse 4, the last part. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's what we need amongst us today, isn't it? Is a demonstration of the power of God when we preach the word. We need men of God, women of God, who is demonstrating the power and the Spirit of God. See, God's chosen people just like you and me, just common folk, just everyday people, to proclaim the greatest message in all the world, the gospel. How are you doing with the gospel? I tell you this morning that the angelic host had the opportunity to preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel. All of heaven would be evacuated. But they can't do it. Because see, they know nothing of redemption. But you and I do. And he's given that to you and to me. We are to preach the gospel. I was at one place one time and they were introducing me to some folks and they were saying, you know, this is so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and going on down the list, you know, and then they said, now that's brother so-and-so. And they said, you know, he got saved and he never got over it. You know what some of our problems are? We got saved and we got over it. Passion of the gospel is Christ crucified. The manner of the preaching is just in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. We need a vision this morning. Oh, how we need a vision of the power of the gospel of God, Christ of God. We need a vision this morning. I think we've lost it for lost souls. I mean, you've been saved, you know. I know I'm saved. But where's my love for the unsaved? We need a vision this morning of hell. We've lost it. We no longer preach about it. You don't even hear it from the platforms anymore. Or we might offend someone. I was invited to one assembly and they said, now listen, you know, you can come, but we really don't want you to preach on hell. I said, well, I can't promise that. I'll come, but I can't promise you. I said, do you want me or do you not, you know? They said, well, come on. I preached the gospel. Oh, beloved, there are people going to hell. That's reality. Like what our brother Joel was saying, Hollywood's, it's all fake. It's all make-believe. But this is reality. What would you do this morning? I used to work at a brickyard when I was a teenager. And my job was to take the brick and to place them into a kiln, where in the inside of that kiln they would bake them. And it was like 4,500 degrees in those kilns to dry these bricks. And sometimes you'd have to take your leg and push the car in because the dolly there wouldn't make it go all the way across sometimes, and you'd have to push it in. Well, it would often singe the hair on your legs and burn little holes in your blue jeans. But just imagine this morning, just for a moment, what if all of a sudden you were in a coma? You thought you were dead, you know, and I'm not putting my endorsement on cremation. But let's just suppose you'd requested that your body be cremated. So they take you thinking you're dead, place you into a, much like a kiln there at the bricks was in, and they burn, begin to turn the heat up. And if you were in one of those kilns and you were in that flame at 4,500 degrees, and all of a sudden you woke up out of that coma, what would your reaction be? I mean, there would be terror on your face, and your first remark would be, "Let me out of here. Get me out." Folks, there are people dropping into hell as we're here this morning. We've lost the vision of hell. We got saved and we got over it. And I can't get over the wonder of this. God had only one son. And what did he do? He made him a preacher, didn't he? He came to seek and to save the lost from hell, yes, but from their sins. He spoke more of hell than he did heaven, didn't he? The gospel is something that God has entrusted to you and to me. What are you doing with the gospel? How involved are you in the gospel? Part of the judgment seat of Christ will be. How well? My stewardship of the gospel. We made us stewards of the gospel. How are you doing with the gospel? Our first duty to the gospel is to appreciate it, I believe. I think we've kind of lost appreciation for the gospel. We almost discourage young men from preaching the gospel anymore. That's where they need to start. We've lost the appreciation for it. And then the next thing is to communicate it. It'd be a crime this morning, wouldn't it? I mean, if you had water and you were out in the desert and you're the only one that had any water, and someone came along and they were thirsting to the point of death, and you had plenty of water, and you didn't share it, we'd say, oh, that'd be a terrible crime. What if this morning someone had a cure for a deadly disease? And they had that knowledge and they never shared it with anyone. What if we knew of danger was ahead? Often a brother said it like this one time. He had a friend and he went to visit this friend in the hospital, and he was unsaved. And he gave him this little story. He says, what would you do? You're going along and you're walking along and your friend's about to step off and he's about to drop off of a cliff. And you know the cliff is there. He doesn't. And he's getting to the edge now. What would you do? Well, we'd throw him a book, you know, and tell him what Dr. Spock says, you know, and all this. Now, you wouldn't do that, would you? You'd say, stop! Danger! Beloved, people are lost in their sins on their way to a lost eternity. And you and I know of the danger. What are you doing with the gospel? For it is the power of God unto salvation. To those which are being saved, we have a message. Great message. Brings dead men to life, doesn't it? Christ died for your sins according to the scripture. You know, we say we're people of the book. I pray we stay people of the book, but if we don't protect and if we don't preach the gospel, you know what's going to happen? The enemy will come in and he will sow tares and he will defile the message of the gospel. And you say, oh, doesn't matter. It does matter, doesn't it? First of all, I delivered unto you the gospel. Now, all we'd have to do this morning to see this, how that the enemy comes in and sow tares when we don't appreciate a truth as we ought to, just go back to the early church history. And they begin to lose appreciation for the Word of God and some truths. And they fail to preach and protect the message. And then God began to write Ichabod over their doors. The glory of the Lord hath departed. I'll never forget something I read from Harry Ironside. And this is what he said. He said, if you take an assembly that doesn't preach the gospel, you can write Ichabod over the door. For the glory of the Lord hath departed. It's a solemn thought, isn't it? Do we appreciate the gospel? Do you have a deep appreciation for the gospel this morning? What's the motive for preaching the gospel? As I was doing this, I began to search for scripture on how to learn to love the lost. I thought, man, there must be lots of scripture on how to learn to love the lost. You know how many I found? Zero. I found scripture that told me what I would do if I loved the lost and how I should respond to the unsaved. But how to love to learn the lost? Zero. And then the Lord led me one day in the quiet time just to John chapter 21. You know it well. Over in John, Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Feed my sheep. Not one time did the Lord Jesus ever say, Peter, do you love the sheep? Never asked him that, did he? Because you know what? Peter might have said, well, no, I don't love the sheep. I mean, look at those rascals. Peter, do you love me? And he hit home. If I love him, I'll love the unsaved, won't I? If I'm where I should be in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, I have a passion for the unsaved. How are you doing with the gospel? What is the motive? Well, the motive is you have a love for him, appreciation for him, an appreciation for the cross work. I tell you, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? We all come from different walks of life. We've all got different backgrounds. But we were all lost in our sins, weren't we? And he reached down in his mercy and his grace and he saved someone like me, Grady Dollar. Who cares about Grady Dollar? And there's people out there today who's thinking, well, who cares about me? There's one, isn't there? There's one who says, I love you. I love you. I came and I died for you. Oh, my beloved brethren, may we never lose appreciation for the gospel. And to be motivated by our love to a Savior who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, what's the presentation of the gospel? I think the presentation of the gospel is to produce three things. And we find it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Sound faith, not self-salvation, because it's Christ and Christ alone. We need to convey that to folks. That it's Christ and Christ alone. It's not what I do or what I don't do. It's Christ and Christ alone. It produces sound faith, totally trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not 99.99, but 100% trusting in Christ and Christ alone. Well, what is sound faith? We won't have time to expound these, but I'll just throw them out. And what is sound faith? Well, it's resting in the Word of God, taking God at His Word. It's resting in the cross of God. It's resting in the Christ of God. And it's resting in the Spirit of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, listen, if I come unto you and I preach the gospel, and if Christ be not risen from the dead, then it's all in vain. But He has risen, hasn't He? He is alive, and He's coming again, and He wants to save those who are lost this morning. He wants them to come to this saving faith. Not only that, but it's saving faith. The next part, it's the power of God unto salvation. It says, not my words, it's His words, isn't it? And that's why we need to present to them what the Bible says. Here's what the gospel is. Here are the facts. And then just present to them the gospel. Not only that, but I believe it's a steadfast faith. I don't know about you, but these people that tell me they're saved and I see no change in their life, they are not saved. They are not. Because once you come to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, there will be a change in your life. I'm not saying there's not those moments of straying and going astray. I'm not saying that. But from that point, when they say, yes, I've taken Christ as my Savior, there will be a change in that person's life. And there will be a desire for growth. There will be a desire for that. This morning, what we need is to recapture a passion and the power of the gospel. Heard a story of a king, and it went something like this. This king had just received a fatal wound in battle at the point of death. So in his dying hours, he sent for his armor bearer. And the soldier says to the king, he says, sir, what is your command? And the king says, here's what I want you to do. He says, I want you to take your sword and I want you to pierce your heart through. And then I want you to go to the dead and I want you to tell them that your king is coming. And so without a moment of hesitation, this armor bearer, he takes his sword, he thrusts it to his heart in a matter of moments. He was in eternity. Go and tell the dead that your king is coming. What a lesson. What a lesson. Am I willing? Am I prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to take the sword of death to my self-life? Not I, but Christ. Am I willing to allow the Spirit of God to come and take the sword of death to my complacency? That's one of our problems today, isn't it? We become complacent. Am I willing to allow the Spirit of God to take the sword of death to sin that's in my life? You know, one of the things I think, one of the biggest sins amongst the assemblies of God's people is unconfessed sin. Our brother said it this morning, what we need and what I'm talking about, I mean, because they go hand in hand, but there must first be a revival among God's people. Appreciation for the Lord Jesus as there ought to be. Appreciation for the gospel. And brethren, if you and I will bow before Him this morning and die to self and come out of our complacency and confess all known sin and say, Lord, here I am, use me, He will use you up. Are you willing this morning? What are you doing with the gospel? Oh, the king is coming. Go and tell the dead that your king is coming. You and I need to go and tell the living dead, don't we? That the king has come. That the king died on the cross. And that he is coming, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, isn't he? Let me just say this. The church can survive without buildings. The church can survive without choirs. The church can survive without Sunday schools. The church definitely can survive without professional clergymen. The church can survive without creeds. The church can survive without women's societies. But the church cannot survive without preaching the word of God. We must get back to preaching the gospel. Beloved, there must be a balance in our assemblies today. Oh, yes, the saints need teaching. But at the same time, what do you say? He says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. He says, go. How are we doing with the gospel? What are you personally doing with the gospel? As we represent different assemblies, let me ask you this morning, what is your assembly doing to proclaim the good news of the gospel? Oh, my beloved, may we do it in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. May it be said that I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, this morning, may we rise up, O man of God, and preach the gospel. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank Thee this morning for the gospel. Lord, we thank Thee this morning for the Savior of men, who in Your love came all the way down to this sin-cursed world. And You reached out and You saved this old wretched worm, Grady Dollar. I thank You for that this morning. Lord, may we hear this morning, may we be challenged to live a life of holiness. And if that life of holiness, out of that life will come more love to Thee. Lord, that's what we need this morning. Is more love to Thee, O Christ. More love to Thee. And out of that would come a passion for the unsaved. Oh, we pray that You stir our hearts. Give us a vision this morning of lost souls going into eternity. Place of no escape. Place of no hope. The place of no return for all eternity. Lost, lost, lost. Lord, help us this morning to be faithful in proclaiming the gospel. We ask these things and give You thanks now in Your blessed name. Amen.